Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, no, it's the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we kick off the week, which will see league football return here in Scotland. Pre-season is done and dusted, the League Cup group stages are over, and now it's full steam ahead towards the weekend. Philippe Clement is warning Rangers can't do miracles as Brendan Rodgers hails perfect preparation as Celtic head home from the US of A. And who else would you rather bring in the new season with, don't answer that, than Marvin Bartley and Roger Hanna?
I cannot tell you how pleased I am to see the two of you. I think I've had it so easy compared to you boys over last summer. I've only been in here having to do the 1 hour shows with Andrew McLean. This man here has been in 35 degree heat, getting the runaround from an NFL legend in JJ Watt, playing in a $1 million seven-a-side tournament against Sergio Aguero. I've just been sitting in here, and I know, Gordon, while he's been getting put through his paces, you've been in therapy trying to banish memories of the things you witnessed in 2 weeks in Germany with Mark Wilson and Gordon DL. So I hope you're both fit, well and ready, because even by the high standards of Super Scoreboard, I think this is going to be the season.
It is fantastic to be back. Obviously, you just mentioned being out in Germany. I did see Gordon out there for a few minutes. Went to support Scotland, so it didn't last too long.
But can we not talk about that? This is not how I envisaged the start of the new season.
Well, we're just
season
letting going. Everyone know what happened over the summer, just in case they missed it. That's fine.
Let's skim over that bit very quickly.
Yeah, so listen, it's been brilliant to be back. The real stuff starting on Saturday. I'm sure a lot of fans have got a lot to say. So, yeah, let's see how it goes.
Let's do it. 01419511025. The new season comes round very quickly. My summer holidays to make it all about me end very quickly. But I am delighted to be back with Roger Hanna and Marvin Bartley. And more importantly, you, because believe it or not, I missed you. I missed this dance we do between 6 and 8 o'clock every single night. So let's do it. 01419511025. You've not been starved. Andrew McLean and the guys have been keeping you all across all the big talking points from Scottish football in the 1 hour format, but we are back until 8 o'clock. So please do give us a call right now. Whatever it is that's on your mind ahead of the new season, this is the time and the place to share it as always. 01419511025. From a distance, Roger Hanna, because I'm not completely mental, I like to try and switch off ever so slightly. It does seem, though, it's not been a quiet summer. Would that be fair?
Let me sort of refresh memories here. You do know Rangers don't play at Ibrox anymore.
I've heard.
You know that.
News has reached me.
They're going to Hearts on Saturday. That's Hearts, who have just lost 3-0 away to League Two Fleetwood. So it's not going brilliantly for them. I saw your Motherwell team yesterday with you at Fir Park.
That certainly wasn't good.
Not going brilliantly for them either, I have to say. Kelly need to win in Belgium to get through. St Mirren need to beat Valour to get through. They're both in the balance. Your old pal David Gray's started okay.
Yep.
Other than losing to Kelty Hearts.
It happens.
Dave Gallaby's very excited about Jimmy Tellin up at Aberdeen. Four wins for Dundee, four wins for Ross County. Big wins for Celtic against Manchester City and Chelsea. How does that translate to the Premier League? You may get a couple of Celtic fans phoning about a lack of outfield signings to join Kasper Schmeichel and Viljami Sinisalo, but they have kept hold of Matt O'Reilly so far. And Rangers, Philippe Clement speaking again today, Todd Cantwell may be a Rangers lifeline. I'm not sure too many Rangers fans will treat that as good news.
I was hoping for a more positive outlook. You're Mr. Positive, Marvin. You're Mr. Optimistic. Tell us why this is going to be the season.
Well, no, I wish I could, Gordon. I wish I could. It has been a difficult summer for all the things that Roger's kind of mentioned there. But listen, when the football does get started, listen, one of the positive, Hibs are going to do better than they did last season. There you go, throwing it out there to you straight away. But listen, a lot will happen. You know, I know a lot of fans are wanting players to come in pre-season. Celtic have been fantastic, Rangers not so much. But listen, pre-season is that for a reason, for players to get fit. And I'm sure come Saturday and Sunday, everyone will be ready to go.
Come on then, I can barely wait to get stuck in on these phone lines. So it's 01419511025. What is on your mind this evening? In the most general sense, how would you sum up your team's pre-season? Right, that's pre-season done. Whether that is purely friendlies for you European participants, whether that encapsulates the League Cup group stages as well, how would you sum up your team's pre-season? And then, does it matter? Do you care, Celtic fans? If pre-season translates into a league campaign, you've got a lot to look forward to, judging by those Chelsea and Man City results. But I know there will be a lot of you out there who say it counts for absolutely nothing pre-season. You've seen your team do rubbish and then go on to have a good season, or vice versa. So sum up your pre-season, and does it matter? How much will it translate to league football, which is about to kick off this weekend? Anything else you want to do in signings that I've missed over the summer, bring me up to speed. Help me get back into the weird and wonderful ways of Scottish football on the usual number. And it never really stops, because right now, literally, Rangers have just released a 22-minute video, Roger Hanna, with Chairman John Bennett. The first main point is on that Ibrox delay. He says they're aiming to be in Ibrox for the last game in September, but it could slip beyond that, is the quote. Apologises again for the delay. Apparently one of the three shipments has arrived so far, whatever that may mean. Get a construction expert on to tell us the inside track.
You know when Mrs. Duncan orders stuff?
Oh, I know all about that, unfortunately.
You arrive back for the phone in, mm-hmm, and there's a wee sticker through your door that says, "We've left it behind the blue bin." I've visions of people turning up at Ibrox of a morning hoping it's there, and they find the steels behind the blue bin, but it's not all there.
Right.
And then the next week, they have to wait for the next bit to come. Listen, I'm making light of this. For Rangers supporters, this is extremely significant. This is extremely worrying, because not only does it disadvantage the team, not only does it inconvenience the supporters, but it also casts a light on the way the football club is being run at the minute. And this was a well-intentioned redesign of the Copeland Road stand. I think we could all agree on that. It has been handled very, very poorly. And if the people handling this part of the football club are handling it so poorly, Rangers supporters are entitled to phone this show and ask if the handling of other aspects of the football club is being handled as poorly as well, i.e. the football department.
And it's like the clubs knew we were returning at 6 o'clock. Partick Thistle have just issued a statement. They want they've written to the SPFL and the Scottish FA asking for a full explanation of yesterday's events. For anyone who didn't see it, they wanted to bring a striker on, because had they won the game, they could have progressed in the League Cup. They were told said striker wasn't on the team lines, and it turns out it was just a silly misunderstanding with some new app that the Scottish FA are using, and they should have been allowed to be brought on after all. We've managed to cram some madness in before the league's even started.
Wasn't it a screenshot they're saying though? So the screenshot, the person zoomed
in too
much.
We've all been there with an erroneous screenshot, haven't we?
Yeah, it's unacceptable though, isn't it? Surely, you know, if you look down, there's only 8 subs on there. You just double check with the you know, the manager and say, are you only going with 8 subs? Especially if you count the amount of players that are on the bench as well. It shouldn't happen. There's no surprise that, you know, they want a full explanation for it. But I think it's kind of human error, isn't it?
From what usually on a Monday night at 6 o'clock, I ask you guys to do your howler of the weekend. That would have been sewn up, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Listen, let me draw a scenario. We're laughing about this. Let me draw a scenario for you. Adam Eder has just scored to give Celtic the lead in the Old Firm Cup final with a minute to go.
Yep.
Philip Clement looks to the Rangers bench. Who am I going to send on to try and rescue the Scottish Cup final? He's got Danilo. He's got Cyril Dessers. He's got anyone you like. He's going, right, Danilo, Cyril, you're coming on. At which point the fourth official says, I'm sorry, Philip, you can't put Danilo on because he was a ninth sub and he's fallen off the bottom of the screenshot, so he'll need to sit there. Can you imagine? So, listen, we can laugh and say, ah, it's only Partick Thistle. This is a serious, serious blunder by the SFA. I'm told clubs beneath the SPFL level are affected as well by this new Comet registration system.
Apparently
I believe
so.
The SFA is inundated with complaints from amateur clubs, junior clubs, clubs in lower leagues. It was going to hit the SPFL at some stage. Unfortunately for them, it's hit them in a televised League Cup game where there was everything on the line for Partick Thistle. If I was Partick Thistle, I'd be looking to get the game replayed.
Steady on. I wouldn't necessarily go that far, but I do take your point, and it feels like 12 minutes in, we've never been away. Let's do it. 01419511025. In the most general sense, sum up your team's pre-season, and does it matter? What do you think is going to happen when the league campaign does kick off? If you want to go on today's news and what's happening specifically today, we've just given you hot off the press, if that phrase still exists. John Bennett speaking to Rangers TV, expecting the club to be back in Ibrox, but admitting it could slip beyond that time frame. Celtic fans, I'm sure you're not too impressed with the headlines this morning suggesting Leicester might try and prize Rio Hatate away. Partick Thistle fans, I'd love to hear from you and how you feel about this admin screenshot error that affected you at Fir Park yesterday, and anything else that's out there. We're delighted to be back between now and 8 o'clock, so let's do it. 01419511025. Mark is on the line first. How are you, Mark?
Hi panel, welcome back.
How's it going? You all right?
I had a full head of hair before the summer. Now it's all gone.
So that's not a good sign. So like your optimism for the new season is not there, Mark. Is that what you're telling me?
If you judge it from what we can see, it appears Rangers' pre-season has been a disaster and Celtic's has been outstanding, if we judge it on that. However, I'd rather deal with the facts. I don't think that if it's going to be any longer, I don't think we're going to be back in Ibrox anywhere near September. I haven't seen this clip, it's just been released, but if it's going to be longer, they're going to be doing the same thing next summer for the other stand. So if it's going to go into October, November, which I think it will, then they may as well get the whole thing done and keep us out of Ibrox this season, because it's been a shambles. The whole thing's been a shambles.
Just to bring you up to speed, Mark, like, I mean, I must admit, I've not obviously watched the whole clip either because it's just started, but I have a good source that's feeding me the information, and we'll call him Andrew McLean, who's had a busy summer. So that was that quote, Roger, the one at the start, the aspiration to be back in Ibrox for the last game in September, but it could slip beyond that. I know that sounds ominous to people, so I get why Mark feels that way. You obviously kind of, you're going to have to say something to soften up. You cannot say we categorically will be back in by the last game in September when the whole point of this situation is that it is unforeseen or unplanned. And then it rolls over another week and everybody hangs you because you said you'd be back in. So you sort of get why John Bennett would word it in that way. That's not to say the Rangers fans are going to be happy about it. Far from it. But it was always likely to be language like that, was it not?
Yes. I think you're probably right. It's shambolic in the extreme. Rangers sought compensation and gained compensation last season from Dundee because their pitch wasn't ready for a game. Rangers Stadium now isn't ready for a number of games. They're going to play at Hampden against Motherwell a week on Saturday. I'm told this might have changed in the last couple of hours, but I was told that Rangers supporters still don't know their seat numbers for the game in Motherwell, where they're going to be. Are they behind the goal or in the main stand? Are they on the far side of the stand? There's then a game against most likely Dynamo Kiev 4 days later. Then 4 days after that, they've got St Johnstone in the League Cup, last 16 at home. There could be a Champions League playoff home game the following midweek, and then Ross County are coming to Hampden on the 24th of September. That's five games away from Ibrox by the end of September, and now the club are saying, actually, it might be even longer. I'm sure Rangers supporters will phone this show and tell us what they think of the current situation. I have great sympathy for the Rangers fans. They have done nothing wrong. They have been severely inconvenienced by this. And if it has a negative impact on the start of the season for Philippe Clement and the football team, I think you'll hear the supporters on this programme, Gordon.
Yeah, I definitely agree. You know, I do feel for the fans, as saying there, you know, the fans don't know where they'll be sitting in terms of, you know, going to the games and going forward. It's something that should have been prepared and, you know, organised a lot better than it has been. If it's right that two of the shipments aren't actually at Ibrox at this moment in time, I don't know how they can put a date on when they'll be back in. You know, it just doesn't bode well at all. And yes, it does bring extra pressure to the players and the manager, but I'm sure he won't be using it as an excuse. But, you know, you don't really want to be giving players an excuse going in. August is a massive, massive month for Rangers Football Club. And the last thing they want to do is be playing away from Ibrox, especially on European nights, because we've seen, you know, the fans be the 12th man. You know, we've seen the stadium absolutely rocking, and you're going to lose that going to Hampden because it just doesn't hold the same atmosphere.
I mean, Mark, is this a combination then? You say your hair's less than it was at the start of the summer. Is it part stadium? Is it part pre-season performances, results? Do they matter to you? I mean, it wasn't so long ago Rangers beat Real Madrid in a pre-season friendly, and that didn't translate into like a world-beating campaign. So does it matter, or would you still have liked to see a few more signs of optimism on the pitch during the break?
The stadium's one thing, but much more important than that is the way the club's been run. It appears from the outset, from the support, that the board are not backing the manager at all. The main signings, as far as we're concerned, have not been signed. They're going to qualify in a week's time. The league's starting in 3 days, 4 days. So it appears they're not backing the manager. Van Bronckhorst was backed. Michael Beale, who's caused a lot of these issues just now, by the way, with the signings, was backed. And Steven Gerrard, before he won 55, was backed. He wasn't backed after that, which is probably why he left. But they've not backed him with money. They've not backed him. And that's poor, because if you look at the signings, out with Barron, the boy from Aberdeen, and possibly Cherney on loan, they're not good enough, the young boys, and they're not backing him. See, if you're not going to back him, sack him. Because
is it maybe a bit early, though, to say that they're not good enough? How do we know?
No, I'm saying they're not. It appears just now they are not backing the manager. See, if they were backing the manager, two or three top players like a Shankland would have been in that door the week after the season ended. They're not backing the manager, and they're basically tying two hands behind his back, 2 feet behind his back. The guy is a good top manager, but you need to give him money and get decent players in. If you look at who they've been linked with and who they've been close to getting in the media, all these deals have fallen through. And it appears that the board, out with this whole stadium disaster and everything else that's gone on, it appears they are not backing Philip Clement, and that's poor.
Well, it's almost like John Bennett is aware of the types of criticisms that are being aimed at Rangers, because in this interview, Roger, that's just been published by Rangers themselves, I mentioned the stadium, he points out, or he says, that between January and the summer window, they've spent £11.5 million on permanent signings, and that figure doesn't include loan fees, agent fees, etc. Again, I've not heard it. I'm in here. That quote suggests, though, that this is a Rangers chairman who is aware people like Mark don't feel the manager's been backed, and is saying, oh, actually, I think you'll find he is.
Well, listen, the Rangers board can only, any board, can only back the manager with the funds available to them. I was quite alarmed a couple of weeks ago. You remember the Philip Clement interview when he was in the Netherlands during pre-season, when he said he needs to sell before he can buy. He said that everyone's for sale has a price, with the exception of Jack Butland. He said he didn't think the squad had the quality at the minute to compete in the Champions League. And even today, I think he did a Sky Sports interview today ahead of Sky's coverage of Hearts versus Rangers at the weekend, where he basically said Celtic only needed to do a few renovations. He needed to rebuild the house. So I think Philip Clement, while he's clearly being honest, I think his words have worried the likes of Mark and other Rangers supporters who have seen them concede 10 goals in 4 pre-season games.
Does that stuff matter to you?
No, I don't think so. Listen, pre-season's one of those things that you do really, really well, and all of a sudden you're gonna win the league, and if you don't do so well, you know, the team's falling apart, etc., etc. What people have to take into account, and I've been there as a player in pre-season, is that you know, you aim for different things. You know, sometimes you'll go in and play a preseason game where the fans will turn up to watch, and you've actually trained in the morning. We've done a hard running session the day before, because it's all about trying to peak for that first game of the season and then trying to maintain that. And by the way, as a player, when you do play that first game, you're not 100%. You're not at your sharpest. It's impossible. It just doesn't happen. So, listen, some teams will be further along than others. You know, we've seen Celtic beat Chelsea and Manchester City. And but with all due respect, if those games were to happen in 4 or 5 months' time, you know, you expect it to go the other way.
Listen. You tell me, you will know, will the players be affected by coming out of Ibrox? If it happened to you at Easter Road as a Hibs player, you were told to go to Murrayfield. Do you lose an edge going somewhere that's not your traditional home ground?
Yeah, definitely. I definitely think so. Especially as that news is announced, you kind of think to yourself, wow. But then you have to get that out of your head, because you're paid to win games of football. And let's be honest, you'd back Rangers going to 90% of the other team's back gardens and beating them.
And if you were Hibs, you were at Hibs just now, and you were going to play Rangers at Hampden, you'd be happier than going to Ibrox.
Delighted, because you look for anything that can give you a slight edge up when you play against Rangers or Celtic.
Is that why you were so bad at that 7-a-side tournament over the summer?
It's too far away.
You'd never played there before.
Too warm.
Must have been some excuse. Anyway, thank you to Mark. Keep the calls coming in. This might inspire some of you Rangers fans as well, Celtic fans. What did you make of pre-season, and does it matter? Does it give you that optimism, or does it not match the real thing? When it comes through, just more from John Bennett. It's like happening now. It was published at 6 o'clock. This interview is 22 minutes long. So do the numbers, and anyone who watched it straight away is probably just finishing it off. John Bennett goes on to say that Rangers have a twin imperative now. Number one is to win, but number two is a player trading model, which he admits has been a myth in recent years. Says they've learned brutal lessons in recent markets. Philippe Clement told him in May there's a bigger rebuild than I expected. John Bennett agrees with him. While I'm chairman, I want to end years of rinse and repeat, ripping up and starting again every October. And a new CEO, news on a new CEO is to come pretty soon. Just a quiet first night back for us. Give us a call, we'll speak to you next.
Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping.
It's just so beautiful. Oh yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Roger Hanna are here, and we are back until 8 o'clock. It's been a busy summer from what I've heard, and you've had the chance to have your say on these phones in a sort of shortened format as always during the summer. But you know that the Scottish League season's just around the corner when Super Scoreboard returns until 8 o'clock. Anyway, that's how we feel. 0141 951 1025. And quite often, I'll be honest, I'll give you a sneak peek into the way my mind works. On my first day back after 10 or 8 or however many weeks it turns out to be, I always think, oh, I hope it's not quiet. I hope there's something to talk about. Surely we're not going to have to pour over pointless pre-season friendlies. But I'll tell you what, Rangers are delivering on the news front, because John Bennett's just put up a long and extensive interview on Rangers TV about various things, including the stadium and spending and aspirations and all the rest of it. And I can see it's getting quite a reaction. We are generally asking you all, though, what did you make of your team's pre-season? How would you sum it up? And does it matter? Will it translate when the season kicks off? I'm reading this Partick Thistle statement again, and Partick Thistle fans, I really don't want to disappear at 8 o'clock without hearing from you on this. Should that game be replayed against Motherwell? Error in a new app that's being used to administer team lines, a screenshotting error, whatever it may be. It sounds fairly ridiculous. Partick Thistle tried to bring on a striker, were told that they couldn't, but they should have been allowed. And it's clearly going to rumble on. A lengthy statement from Thistle outlining their side of it. They've written to the governing bodies wanting an explanation. And yeah, I wonder if there is it realistic? Might we see that game replayed? What do you think, Partick Thistle fans? Let us know. William's been hanging on for ages, though. I'm sorry, William. Take it away.
Hey, Connor, how are you doing?
Good.
You
all right, buddy?
Two things, basically. One on the board, basically, the Clement. I agree with yourself. The board are backing them. So I do. But when you think it's got to sell before it can buy, personally, basically, it's Michael Beale's team. In a way, he's still playing. And we're stuck with basically at back. We've got Suter, we've got Ben Davies, and we've got Big Balogun. To me, Balogun is one of the best defenders we've got. And if you agree, look what happened when we signed David Weir. He was for 6 weeks, 6 months. And then we got all these years out, and he even got Player of the Year at his age. You're trying to think, what do you think basically the board should be doing?
It's an interesting one, Roger, because I get the point. People, you always hear this about so-and-so's team when you talk about the previous manager, and it may have some fingerprints on it, but already Rangers have moved out Sam Lammers, Borna Barisic, John Lundstrom. You're expecting Conor Goldson and possibly James Tavernier to follow. Players who were there at Ryan Jack, Kemar Roof, and didn't play very much, Sima, who was there last season, Fabio Silva, who was there last season. That's a lot. That is a massive turnover. So whether Philippe Clement's been backed or not, so appropriately, is one thing, but it will be his team or there or thereabouts, presumably, in the next couple of weeks.
Much money did Rangers get for all those players you mentioned?
No, listen, and that's the thing. That's what John Bennett's alluded to there about this player trading model being a myth.
That's exactly it. It's absolutely been a myth. Mm. And if you're at a football club like that, Rangers got their fingers burned a couple of years ago when Ryan Kent and Alfredo Morelos walked out the door for nothing. Now, at the height of their outstanding form for Rangers, at a time when Rangers were reaching a European final, you would certainly have made a profit in the £7 million Rangers paid for Ryan Kent, and they would have made an astonishing profit in the million pounds they paid for Alfredo Morelos. And somehow those players both walked out on their freedom of contract for nothing. A year ago, John Lundstrom and Borna Barisic could and should have been sold for money. And again, they were allowed to walk out the door for nothing. If Goldson and or Tavernier leave the club this summer, it will be for less than they were worth at the height of their Rangers careers. So Rangers have blundered a lot on these deals. Neil Coppin is in at the football club now, and a sort of director of football recruitment role. His job isn't just to bring players in, Gordon, it's to move players out, and it's to move players out at the optimum time to help the football club and bring in money. Celtic sold Jota a year ago. Jota's playing really well. He'd scored in the cup finally. He'd scored lots of goals, but they sold him for £25 million. Matt O'Reilly has been by far and away Celtic's best player in the pre-season. He would probably be the best player in the Premiership if he's played this season. I think Celtic will sell him, and they'll sell him for £20 million again, perhaps. Now, they could easily just let him go to the end of his contract in 2 or 3 years' time and let him go for nothing. But they don't. They get the money in and they invest it. That's where the Rangers player trading model has fallen down. And that's why, at the minute, there's no money available. It's not, no point blaming the board and saying to the board, you know, you're not backing the manager. If you have no money, you can't back the manager with money.
Yeah, a couple of quotes on finances. John Bennett said that his number one mission when he came in as chairman was to rid the club of pre-player trading losses. The number up to June 2023 was 10.5 million, which is wholly unsustainable. But that number is well on the way to being eradicated. So the next bit, obviously, is how do you start making money?
Yeah.
And that's to trade players more effectively than they have. They got two, you know, almost out of the blue, it was Nathan Patterson, Calvin Bassey. So you think it's well on its way, but then that's it. Those are outliers now, aren't they?
Yeah, listen, they have backed the managers. I think it was Mark who was saying, you know, the previous three managers have been really well backed. And you look at the players they brought in last summer. If you were to sell any of those players now, you are going to make a loss on all of them. And that can't continue to happen. You know, you've seen a player go out, I think they paid £3.5 million or £4 million for, and they're getting £2 million back. So it's unsustainable. You know, as Roger says there, yes, you want to back the manager, but if you don't have the money to do it, then there's nothing you can do about that. So, listen, I know about player trading and all that, what Rangers want to do, but the ultimate thing, they have to win games of football, because it's, you know, the fans aren't going to accept us making a profit on players if we're not winning games of football. That's the ultimate thing for Rangers Football Club now.
And I suppose it's all hand in hand, because I'm pretty sure, more than that actually, that there would have been a hope that players like Todd Cantwell would be brought in and sold on. Now, he may well be sold on, but not as a big money-making asset like the Rangers would have hoped when he signed. So if it doesn't go well on the pitch, then obviously the next bit can't follow. William, let me ask you about the stadium. John Bennett's given an update tonight. He says the aspiration is to be back for the last game in September. So that would be the 28th, a home game against Hibs. Naturally, he's admitting it could slip beyond that. What do you make of that update?
Definitely, I can't see a big Ibrox until basically next summer.
But I wonder about that, Roger.
The previous caller, Mark, he says just close it for the whole season. Get all the work that's got to be done and just get it done and start afresh next year.
Oh, this is what Scottish football does to you, Roger. You shouldn't need me to point out there is a long, long time and a whole number of games between September and the end of the season. Even if it is delayed a bit longer, even if this farce turns into a farce with a capital F, we can't be at the stage of saying, just write next season off. That's really not sustainable.
No, but you can understand, you know, Mark phoned and now William's phoned. You can understand the angst in their voices because.
But that's the thing, that's what I'm trying to say. There's still a gap between this might run on beyond September to let's just forget about next season.
Here's the thing. Saturday coming, first Saturday of the football season. It's not just the first Saturday for Rangers, the first Saturday of the league season for everybody. And I always regarded the first Saturday of the league season as the best Saturday of the season. You know why, Gordon? Because everybody, doesn't matter if you're Rangers, Berwick Rangers, Celtic, Stalybridge Celtic, Leighton Orient, doesn't matter who you are, you're filled with hope. Mm-hmm. You haven't actually seen You haven't actually seen how rubbish your team's going to be. And you think everything's going to be okay. Everyone goes to that first game jam-packed with optimism. Rangers fans should be rocking up at Tynecastle on Saturday jam-packed with optimism that this is going to be their season. They're going to get the league title back. They're going to win the cups. The team's going to play far better than they did last season. And all we've heard all summer is Rangers fan after Rangers fan sounding more and more dispirited by the state of things at their football club. And you can only feel sorry for them.
That said, maybe you think that's an overreaction, Rangers fans. Maybe you think there is a bit more cause for optimism. Do let us know. As always, we like to hear all shades of opinion. Thanks to William. What about Scott and Paisley? I mean, Scott, to be nosy, do you go to games? Are you a season ticket holder? How does this affect you, this update today?
Mate, I'm a season ticket holder. And see, to be honest, I'm just going to say, I think I speak for a lot of Rangers fans when I say the transparency at this football club is abysmal. When it comes to players coming in, players going for undisclosed fees, a lot of season ticket holders don't actually know where they're sitting in the games in 2 weeks' time. If you're considering, if we don't know where we're sitting, has policing been sorted? Has security been sorted for this? See, to be honest, Rangers need to take their finger out. And I hope this new chairman comes in and actually points Rangers in the right direction. I was listening to there what you were saying to the other caller about Morelos and stuff like that and players leaving. Like, you said it yourself, Calvin Bassey, John Lindstrom. See, to be honest, I would let Conor Goldson walk. Like, I'll cut my loss in Conor Goldson. But the amount of players, and it's not just Rangers that take to social media to influence different opinions is abysmal. We all know who we're talking about here. It's Todd Cantwell. Todd Cantwell, I don't know why he's unhappy. I don't know what's going on. But why take to social media? Why add fuel to the fire?
There's a lot of ground there, though. We're talking about stadium transfer policy, behaviour on social media from players. It kind of sums up how the Rangers fans maybe are feeling, yeah. Roger. There is a lot going on. I get that sort of concern about, don't even know where we're sitting in 2 weeks. I mean, that's just, even by Scottish football standards, we've found a new madness over the summer with this one.
I said when this story broke in the summer, we're doing a 1 hour shows with Andrew, and I said to Andrew, this story will dominate the first half of the Scottish football season. And at that stage, I didn't quite think the entire Rangers fan base had grasped the severity of this. They were probably away in their holidays, first fortnight at the school's holiday, everybody's away with the kids, you know, and I think the Rangers fans, rightly or wrongly, were thinking, no, this can't be.
Yeah. It's funny you say that, because we were in Germany when the first, I've brought it up again, haven't I? when the first sort of sniff of it came out, and you kind of think, you know, we'll deal with that another time because you're full focused on the Euros.
I've got Rangers supporting mates who were convinced that the board would say, one day, listen, boys, the steel's here, everything's fine. We're not going to be going anywhere.
Just quickly on that other point, so like I said, a lot of ground covered by John Bennett in that interview. The caller's concerned about not even knowing where the season ticket seats are going to be. That was addressed to say that they're, well, it was addressed. I don't know if this will satisfy you, but they're working 24/7 on mapping out Hampden, hoping for an update on that by the end of the week. Ticket office workers are in it at nights and weekends. That's the bit, Marvin, that you can at least have a bit of sympathy for, because once you've had your insert word here, farce, embarrassment, whatever the Rangers fans want to say, once you've had that with the inability to play at Ibrox, this stuff is bound to be difficult, you know, thereafter. I don't know if we can hold it against the staff at Rangers that it's taken a bit to sort the logistics. The initial problem is what has a knock-on effect, surely.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we always knew that this part was going to be the difficult part, but I believe that the Rangers board knew that they weren't going to be at Ibrox before they let everyone else know. So the first thing that fans are going to ask, one's where are we going? Sure. And two, where are we sitting? Mm-hmm. So this stuff should have been done in the background. There's no way you should be heading. I know they're playing away to Hearts first game of the season. These fans should know where they are sitting, because you know you're going to go and upset fans, and rightly so, by telling them we are not playing at our home stadium. But the worst thing you can do is, you know, be heading into the season, as I've just said, and not know where you're sitting, who you're sitting with, and even what stand you're going in, Gordon.
And by the way, in the grand scheme of things, Roger, because you're sort of, your big headlines are, where does this team play its football matches? But you shouldn't overlook just how important going to football is for all these people. Yeah. And we won't have heard the end of this, because see when Rangers do successfully map out Hampden, I bet you any money there are people who are not happy with where they're sitting. 100%. That seat doesn't compare, and I shouldn't be moved there. We're not even close to hearing the end of it.
100%. What happens with the hospitality? How does the hospitality translate for the supporters who take hospitality at Ibrox? What do they do at Hampden? There's an enormous Champions League qualifier, a home game probably against Dynamo Kiev, to come on August the 13th. Don't believe that's in the season ticket, so you need to apply to buy a ticket for that game. What are you applying for? Where are you applying for? What do you do? How does it work? And, you know, Scott criticised a lack of transparency. Now, it's one thing for a football club not to tell me and not to tell you that they're signing a goalkeeper or a centre-half or a centre-forward. That's up to them. But when supporters are criticising a lack of transparency over basic things like ticketing, there's a problem.
The calls are flowing in. 01419511025. Thank you very much. Keep them coming. If you want to keep on that theme, you can do. Celtic fans, if we were talking purely about pre-season friendlies, I'm pretty sure you'd be delighted with what you're seeing. Does that matter? Does it translate? Does it fill you with huge optimism? Or is it not that simple? Newspaper reports this morning that Rio Hatate could be a wanted man by Leicester. Does that worry you? Or is that not going to happen under any circumstances? I'm still on the lookout for you Partick Thistle fans. Do you want another trip to Fir Park? I know it's a brilliant place to be. Do you want to get that game replayed? What did you make of what happened yesterday? Call us now, please. See, I was still in holiday mode there. I'm forgetting about the cash register over the break. How could I? Roger Hannah, the chance to make such a difference to people out there. We could be paying you £260,000. It's not bad. So make sure you know how to play and that you remember that cash amount, because if you get it wrong, you don't win. So don't forget it. £260,000. Text yes to 61025. Texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter on the website for £2 or call 0330 880 4523. Calls charged at a standard rate, over 18s only. And entries since we opened the lines at 6am on the 22nd of July have ruled over. All the rules for this Rail Network competition are at Clyde1.com. Lines close 5pm on Friday when Marvin Humes, the other Marvin, The slightly more famous one could be ringing you. So to win, just answer within five rings. Tell us this week's cash register amount, £260,000. It would be paid into your bank straight after the call. Text yes to 61025.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Roger Hanna are here on 0141 951 1025. And don't worry, we're not even close to approaching the end of the show. Yes, you may be in the habit over the summer of us saying farewell at 7 o'clock, but we're back. Two pundits, 2 hours, and that means the Scottish League season is just around the corner. You cannot beat it. 01419511025. We're asking you what you make of your team's pre-season, how you would sum it up, if you care, if you think it matters, or is it all out the window when the league campaign resumes. Breaking news today is a long interview with John Bennett going on the Rangers website, updating various things. Newspaper reports this morning suggesting Leicester might fancy a nibble at Rio Hatate, and various other things out there. Partick Thistle not happy, understandably, with this admin error that prevented them bringing on an attacking substitute in yesterday's game against Motherwell. Brian is a Celtic fan. How do you feel, Brian? What has pre-season done for your mood? Are you looking forward to things?
Magic pre-season for Celtic. Banter years continue. We done in Man City, greatest team in the world, they're telling us. Chelsea, greatest league in the world, they tell us. Listen, it's pre-season. These two teams, or even OGDC, we beat them 4-0. These three teams came out with a prestige tournament because we're a prestige team now, they tell us. So we go out, we have a manager who's a pretty excellent manager, if anybody wants to argue, makes sense. A team that's possibly starting to understand what that manager is wanting. We didn't see it last year. There was a bit of, as I say, staccato and stop-start stuff, and it gave Rangers a wee chance. But the banter years continue. It's baiting ball. It's going to be incredible for the start of the season. Rangers, if I had scripted what Rangers have done so far, for me as a Celtic supporter, as I love Celtic so much, I couldn't have scripted it any better. They've lost their stadium, they've lost their way, they've lost their money, they've lost everything, and yet still we try and connect. The media tries to connect Celtic in some way. Celtic's pre-season has been incredible. We didn't lose the Matt O'Reilly that everybody says we're going to lose yet. The deals that could come in or may go out will be done in a manner that has always been done, except for that 2 years whirlwind where Ange came in and boom, 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 everything happened. The head of Celtic and the recruitment of Celtic needs an overdrive according to the fans, and yet according to the owners, we've won everything. I think we are in a great place financially. Our fans will never agree. I go to Celtic Park and I go with great people, and I'm so glad that the ages of the guys that I go, they kind of keep you grounded. There's none of this, we won everything, we're entitled to win everything. We want a better product, because when we went to the football and we're standing ankle deep in water that isn't good water, we're watching a beautiful product on the pitch. Nowadays, the kids go to the football and everything's so razzmatazz, and that's the same as Ibrox was a great stadium and they've found problems. Celtic Park was an absolute dump at one time, now it's a great stadium. So that appreciation on the park, to get those players on the park, how are we going to increase our product?
Well, that's a good question, Roger, product. Because you know what? I always feel like we're in the same, because Celtic do win everything or most of the things that, as Brian alludes to, it strikes me as you will form your opinion based on which lens you view it through as a Celtic fan. Are you happy to just stay ahead of Rangers? Because this summer, and Brian's right, and loads of them will say, look at the stadium and the crisis or whatever. Or do you want to be the best version of yourself? Forget what they're doing. Do you want to be the best version that you can? Make sure you're driving your standards. And that's where then you'll maybe see Celtic fans saying, okay, great, Man City was good, Chelsea was good, Rangers are doing whatever, but why have we not signed a left back yet? Or can we get Adam Ida over the line? Or is Paulo Bernardo coming? So it probably depends what's your criteria. Yeah, stay number one in Glasgow, or make sure that you're being the best version of yourself.
It's becoming apparent that the Celtic support last summer has fallen into two distinct camps. There is the camp that Brian's in, and there's nothing the matter with that. Absolutely thrilled with the way the team's played pre-season, thrilled with the results, delighted by things that are happening across the city at Rangers, and brimful of confidence that they could sign Peter Schmeichel and win the treble, some will tell you. Or the other Celtic side of the Celtic support does want more players in. They want another centre back to play alongside Cameron Carter-Vickers. They want another left back to compete with Greg Taylor, who's only got a year left in his deal. They want more midfielders in for the day that Matt O'Reilly and or Rio Hitati does leave the club. They want another striker in, be it Adam Ida or someone else, because with Ida back at Norwich and Rocco Vatta at Watford, there's only one centre forward in the building. So even in terms of numbers, what happens if something happens to Kyogo? So, you know, I understand the points Brian makes. I'm delighted that Brian is delighted. But there are other Celtic fans who will tell you they need four, five, six players because they want to make an impact in Europe as well, Gordon.
Yeah, listen, I think that first and foremost with Brian, obviously he just wants to stay ahead of Rangers. And I think, you know, as Roger said there, there'll be a lot of Celtic fans like that. And you know, that I'm getting used to Scottish football now after 9 years, and I understand that is, you know, that is the marker for teams when you know you've got a rival within the same city as you. But as Gordon said there, you know, there will be some or half of the fan group also that want to, you know, see players come in. And I think Celtic has to be patient with what they're doing in terms of, you know, the fans' expectations. Because I think, you know, where they've looked at projects before, we just mentioned Ange there, etc. I think now Brendan Rodgers is looking for game changers, for people who can come into that starting 11 and make a massive, massive difference. And the flip side of that is what he doesn't want to do is sign a centre midfielder too early, thinking he's going to keep O'Reilly. Then O'Reilly goes, and then all of a sudden you're like, whoa, hang on a minute, maybe that player's not going to be suitable to play, you know, week in, week out.
Well, thank you very much to Brian. You can keep your thoughts coming on that usual number. And if you are looking for one cast iron sign that summer is officially over and that the Scottish league season is just around the corner, it must be this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Been swatting up, have we, gentlemen, over the summer?
I'm joint top with Roger at the moment.
Was it another invincible season for you last season, Roger? Apart from the whole Christopher and Ayrshire debacle.
Oh, Christopher and Ayrshire. myself and Christopher and Ayrshire have made up over this. Good. So it's all fine. So
imagine,
I'll leave it to you to see where it was invincible.
Get your CV open right now and create a space. You could be adding first Beat the Pundit winner of season 2024-25. That is the incentive we've got for you here in a few minutes. 01419511025. You take these on. If you've got superior football knowledge, you win yourself a signed ball. You have to get your calls in before 7.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Marvin Bartley are here and we are back until 8 o'clock. That means the Scottish football season is just around the corner. So Clyde One Super Scoreboard returns in its full format, which means more time for your calls. 0141 951 1025. What's on your mind tonight? How would you sum up your pre-season? And does it matter come the start of the real stuff? Rangers fans, various updates coming out about stadium and spending and so on. Rumours or stories, if you like, about Rio Hitati and Leicester. A proper, you know, one of these sort of only Scottish football can do this dramas with Partick Thistle have been denied the chance to bring on a striker as they were chasing the game yesterday. Lots going on. So give us a call and the return to the full-blooded format on Clyde One Super Scoreboard means it's time to play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Yes, it is Beat the Pundit time. For some reason, if anyone is unfamiliar, maybe you've just decided to jump on the Mad Super Scoreboard bandwagon for the new season. This time every night, I should say, we play Beat the Pundit. We invite you to call in. You face these same football questions as one of our pundits, and if you get more right than they do in the allotted time, you win a signed ball. It is that simple. Unfortunately for you, it can be a bit of a mixed bag because Roger Hanna is...
Today's not a mixed bag, though.
No, it is. Yeah. Trust me,
no,
it is.
It's not.
It really is. Matthew's actually asked the question on everyone's lips, as far as I can see, over the summer. Does Roger start on -2 for the new season?
I thought back to zero. Matthew, you're going the wrong way.
Well, we put you on to -1 a few years ago and it hasn't worked, really. You've not really lost. Why don't we just try a wee trial of -2 for the new season?
Listen, God, you're on the show, it's up to you, but...
You fancy that?
What, me -2 as well?
Don't be so ridiculous.
Lack of respect on this show. Roger,
why don't we just give it a bash?
Agree, yeah.
See how we get on.
Okay, on you go.
Oh, he must be feeling good. He's feeling confident. Brilliant. He's had a good pre-season under his belt, some warm weather training. He's up for it. There you are. Forget your Rangers statement, your Partick Thistle drama. There's your breaking news. Roger Hanna minus two for the new season.
An absolute disgrace.
On Beat the Pundit.
I'll just tell you, my agent will be in touch with producer John.
Marvin Bartley, not so much. Minus two for you.
Not yet.
But there we go. We have had loads of. I knew we would. Very popular. The chance to be the first winner of the new season is just, it's overwhelming, the number of people phoning in. But the lucky contestant, if you can call it that, is Sean in Coatbridge. How are you, Sean?
Yeah, good, mate. How are you?
Have you ever played before?
I have not.
Good luck. Oh.
It's the first time I've ever even phoned to try.
Honestly, oh, nice. A new season, wonderful. A new contestant. Roger on minus two. Mm-hmm. This is absolutely fantastic. Honestly, I'm Roger, buzzing to be back.
Minus three, because this could go.
No. Listen, I've got faith in you, Sean. You sound like too. You know your stuff.
Who do you want to play, Sean? You're 50p's there, mate.
It's a pain. Yeah. It's interesting now, though, because, I mean, even on minus one, you would still want to play you, right? Sorry. No offence.
No, but he means both on the same standards.
Can I just point out, he's battering you here.
Yeah, and I got a 10 last season.
And a 0.
That was the season before.
Are you sure?
Yeah. What did you get 10 last season?
Yeah,
but maybe. But now he's minus two. I mean, it should be, you've only got 30 seconds.
No, I would still take
so
me
if
on.
You chip away at them quickly.
No, I would.
Anyway, Sean, I've even got options for the new season. I've got a 50p, I've got a 10p, I've got a 1 euro.
Oh, nice.
Gordon Day, that was all he had left after Germany. Uh-huh. He sent it back. I maybe shouldn't touch that, actually. I don't know where that's been.
That's changed.
But anyway, heads it will be Marvin Bartley. Tails it will be Roger Hanna, minus two. History making for the new season. It's going to have to wait, Roger.
Oh,
heads.
Was it heads? I'll talk to the producer back into minus one by the time I'm on this.
And they're tough tonight as well. Let's give Marvin something
Sean,
else
the best, mate.
To listen to. Sean, you've got 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. Just pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Right, okay.
Good man, Sean. I'm rooting for you. 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. What Dutch team did Sam Lammers join?
Ajax.
Who will St Mirren play in the next round of the League Cup?
Rangers.
Cumbernauld Colts play their home games at what stadium?
No idea. Pass.
True or false, Ally McCoy starred in a film alongside an Oscar winner?
True.
Who scored Celtic's final goal in their win against Chelsea?
Mikey Johnson.
What nationality is Rangers' new left-back, Jeffy?
Brazilian.
How many championship sides are in the next round of the League Cup?
Three.
The City Stadium is the current official home of which Scottish championship side?
Pass.
Okay, let's bring him back. Marvin Bartley, are you ready?
I am.
You've had...
Just start, because I start sweating.
I can see that. Right, I won't put them off anymore. 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. What Dutch team did Sam Lammers join?
FC20.
Who will St Mirren play in the next round of the League Cup?
Dundee United.
Cumbernauld Colts play their home games at which stadium?
Hamilton's.
True or false, Ally McCoist has starred in a film alongside an Oscar winner?
False.
Who scored Celtic's final goal in their win over Chelsea?
Mikey Johnson.
What nationality is Rangers' new left-back, Jeffy?
Brazilian.
How many championship sides are into the next round of the League Cup?
Two.
Okay. What's the verdict, Sean?
I don't think I've done well at all, mate.
I don't think I did well either.
Hugely impressed by Marvin. I think that was good.
Yeah?
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, well, that was good.
Well, if he's got the answers, he doesn't agree with you.
Nah, we'll see. Let's go through them for the first time this season. What Dutch team did Sam Lammers join? It's FC Twente, 1-0, Marvin Bartley.
Mm-hmm. Good start.
Who will St Mirren play in the next round of the League Cup? It is Dundee United. It's the Jim Goodwin Derby, 2-0, Marvin Bartley.
Oh, it's going well.
Cumbernauld Colts. It's not even that far from you, Sean. It is Broadwood. So there was no sort of trick involved there. Yeah, see, easy as
did
that.
Did Sean get it?
No, none of you got it. Still 2-0. However, true or false, Ally McCoist has starred in a film alongside an Oscar winner. No, it's true.
A Shot at Glory.
Yeah?
With?
Robert Duval.
See, this is pre-Marvin in Scottish football. We need to give you history lessons.
Now, listen, go home tonight. I know it's a Love Island final, but just get onto Netflix, watch A Shot at Glory.
I'm going to do that.
Because that was a tap-in for Sean. He knew that straight away.
Did he?
No, most people do. But anyway, not you. Mikey Johnson did score the final goal for Celtic in the win against Chelsea, so you both got it. Marvin's still ahead by one. Jefty is Brazilian. Both got it. Marvin's still ahead by one. How many championship sides are in the next round of the League Cup? Airdrie, Falkirk, and Queen's Park. Three. Sean,
did you get that?
Equaliser.
Oh. Wow.
And you ran out of time. Sean got another question.
Oh, what? What?
Sean got another question.
I don't know how it ended. It's fine.
He didn't get it right, by the way. Spoiler. I actually think it's a bit sneaky as well, because someone's going to pull me up on the accuracy of it. The mm-hmm. City Stadium is the current official home of which Scottish Championship side?
Queen's Park.
But they're going to play at Hampden, aren't they, as well?
Well, you see that.
So I know.
Wait, what did Sean say?
He got it wrong anyway. It doesn't matter.
Okay, then go on,
Roger. I wish the producers would just make it easier for me, because you're right. I mean, it's sort of up in the air. But
at the minute they're playing at the City Stadium, because they're out until such times as Rangers are away from Hampden. John Bennett can't say when Rangers are away from Hampden.
Got it bang on. So there we go.
For the foreseeable future, they will be at the City Stadium.
Luckily it doesn't matter, because we're going to a tiebreaker on the first night back. Couldn't have asked for more. I need your pen now, Roger Hannah. I did not come prepared. I'm looking forward to this. A tiebreaker. So I will read a question out. It's going to be a closest to. I'll get Marvin to write down his answer. I will then invite you to give me your attempt, Sean, okay?
Okay.
Never won a tiebreaker.
I wanted to move on. Have you never won a tiebreaker?
New season.
I wanted to move on from international football. But anyway, the Scotland men's team's top 10 scorers of all time have scored how many goals between them? So the Scotland men's team's top 10 scorers of all time have scored how many goals between them? Write it down, please, Marvin Bartley. Let's see what you've got for us. And then hurry up, because you're giving Sean time to figure it out. Hurry up. Okay, what are you going for, Sean?
132.
Oh, okay, not a lot in that. So Marvin's gone 125. Sean's gone 132. You're both quite far off, which means Sean has won it. It's 205.
Oh,
get in, Sean.
Roger had 211.
Roger had written down 211. That's why he's on minus two, but he wasn't playing tonight. Marvin was. He's hopeless. You were good, Sean. And the signed
ball. Is that count as a draw?
No.
It's not, it should.
It's not
Premier Sports.
Oh, you think it's the
League Cup? I should get a point. No.
So you think your last answer disappeared off the Boatman Station?
It happens.
Anyway, well done, Sean.
So well done, mate.
Game one of the new season and a winner for the listeners. I'm delighted with that. Well done.
Cheers, man. Thank you.
Take care, mate.
There we go. Brilliant.
I actually thought I did really well.
You did?
Sean was good. That's what I said.
Sean was all right. What did you get in the end? One, two. You got. I mean,
just didn't get that extra.
Losing with a four is.
I know. A one with less. Listen.
And how exciting, though, knowing that this season Rodgers and minus two, speed is going to be so important.
Yeah.
As long as you can just get in, get a couple on the board, I think block them out.
Negotiations above our heads are taking place for minus one by the time I'm back in this show.
There is no above your head, Roger Hannah. Who are you kidding? We're fine. We're good to go. Minus two for the foreseeable. And we'll see how it goes. Right, 0141 951 1025. Now we've played Beat the Pundit, I feel like we're really back.
Yes.
I feel like we're, you know, properly into the swing of things. And I wonder what's on your mind tonight, Rangers fans. We're still looking for your reaction. There's been a lengthy, 22 minutes to be precise, interview with John Bennett on Rangers TV. He says Rangers are aiming to be back at Ibrox for the final game in September, admits it could run beyond that. He's defended the spending policy recently, says 11.5 million has been spent in the last couple of windows, and that doesn't include various fees, that's just sort of transfer fees. He is fairly adamant that the club cannot continue this process of kind of sacking managers in October and doing the rebuild thing. So there's quite a lot in there. And I know lots of you are quite annoyed about the stadium and the way things are shaping up. We're asking everyone generally, what do you make of pre-season, and does it matter? Does it have that knock-on effect when we start back? And one of the other big stories certainly is this Partick Thistle business. And I think Roger Hannah put it really well at the top of the show. And it's the supply and demand nature of Scottish football. If this was one of the bigger teams in Glasgow, and we all know who you mean, this would be front page, back page, top scandal. So Partick Thistle deserve to be heard over this, because it's been quite a drama. And they have issued a statement this evening, basically asking for a full explanation from the SPFL and the SFA, and potentially looking for that game to be replayed. So let's bring in Paolo, who is a Thistle fan, and Denison. How's it going, Paolo?
How you doing, guys? Long-time listener.
Well, it's great to have you on the phone. Probably not in the circumstances you would have liked. It would be nice to phone in and celebrate a famous Partick Thistle win. What do you make of this carry-on?
Oh, it's just a disgrace. We were saying, actually, when we were at the stadium watching the game, that we would have brought Rico Diak on with 10, 15 minutes to go, because obviously they're a week there. Saturday against Edinburgh City, he came on and caused havoc. Unfortunately, you know, we've only got really the one target man, Big Graham, who was obviously playing out his skin that game, but we just needed that bit, extra bit of pace, and Diak, in my opinion, would have been the man to get the goal and get us through to the next round.
I'll do a quick recap for those who don't know. Thistle have outlined it all perfectly, and you know, feel free to go off and read it, but basically, teams now have to submit team lines via a system called Comet, or an app, I should say, right? So, you know, you get these buzzwords that will pop up in Scottish football, and they're new to our dictionary. Well, Comet is one of them. So it's a Comet app. That's how you submit your team lines for the Scottish FA and SPFL now. Partick Thistle confirmed they did that at 13:38, to be precise. 20 players were on it. 11 starters, 9 subs. Rico Diak was the final substitute because the app arranges the players in numerical order. Okay, so thereafter, match officials can then instantly access the match day squad through this Comet app. Motherwell can do it as well. They can access it and see who's playing and so on. Motherwell confirmed their lineup at 1:15. That bit doesn't really matter. They were both done in advance of the deadlines. The important bit, if you like, is that Partick Thistle tried to sub on Rico Diak, as Paolo alluded to. They were told that they couldn't because he wasn't on this team line, except he was. He just was cut off because he was the last man. All of Motherwell's were there. Their ninth substitute was there. But whatever the way it's been screenshotted or whatever, Rico Diak's name was not on it. They were told he couldn't be brought on, but he should have been allowed to come on, Roger. He's a striker, as Paolo says. Even I can admit, you know, I was there and I was in the home end. Paolo was in the way end yesterday. He could have come on. He could have scored the winner. He could have sent Thistle through in the cup, and he wasn't allowed to come on.
This takes me back into what I'm going to get inscribed in my gravestone, Gordon. Marvin is an interloper into Scottish football. You've maybe heard me saying this before, but what I'm going to write in the gravestone is, I covered Scottish football for many years. The football was rubbish, but the stories were brilliant. And this falls into that category. Motherwell 0, Partick Thistle 0 was rubbish.
Oh, I would agree with you there.
Dreadful game of football. However, it will be remembered for all time now because of the story at the end. And if you were to go on your holidays, you're going over to see J.J. Watt in Carolina. Yep. You're going to Portugal with your pals. If you start telling an American and a Portuguese person, what you hear this, what you hear what happened to Firth Farn yesterday, they won't believe you. They won't believe things like that can happen. Things like that should not happen, but things like that tend to happen in Scottish football. And it's one of the things that holds back Scottish football. The fact that the people in charge of the game continually manage to make basic fundamental errors that embarrass those of us who love the game so much. Partick Thistle have been dreadfully wronged yesterday. Partick Thistle could have got through. I was listening to David Martindale, your old pal, on Saturday night, saying the defeat knocked out the Cup of Spartans cost the club £100,000. This could have cost Partick Thistle £100,000. If Rico Diak comes on and scores a last minute winner, they're into the last 16.
Yeah,
you don't know where that's going to take them. Home tie against Kilmarnock, they can maybe get through that. You don't know. This has cost Partick Thistle a lot of money, and it's not good enough.
Well, it potentially has, for sure. Paolo, should you get the chance to replay the game? Is that the way you see this? Is that your hope?
Realistically, that's not going to happen, is it, Gordon? What we know, as you alluded to before, one of the big two. So it's just one of those ones. You just need to take it in the chin and move on to league duties and Scottish Cup, hopefully, and get a run in that.
See that bit, Marvin. Paolo's kind of saying we all know the game's not going to be replayed. I generally don't know because I've just not seen this before. And I get where Roger's coming from, and it's unacceptable, and you know it is unfair on Partick Thistle. I just need to admit I've got no idea if that's enough to mean the game gets I have no idea.
I'll give you it. Here's the other one. Last week, I was reading a wee thing. Could this quite easily, you could have missed this. Cove Rangers signed a man called Grady McGrath.
When his teams are doing wrong, they get punished.
Played him, didn't realise he was suspended. Yep. Right? Yep. It's an honest mistake. It's an easy thing to do. The lad was playing in the Highland League last season. You don't know what he, you know.
Yep.
So the Cove secretary or whoever at the club has missed it. Boys played twice. Now, Cove have now been fined. Apparently the fine is hanging over them for 12 months in case there's a repeat. And they, I think they lost one of the games and drew the other.
Yep.
And the that they drew has been turned into a 3-0 defeat.
Yeah.
So when Cove Rangers make the mistake, they're absolutely battered by the league. But when the league make the mistake, who actually governs them?
But at the same time, that's a valid question. And I'm genuinely asking this. I'm not disagreeing with the notion. Does that mean the game gets replayed though? Because that's a valid question, but I don't know if that answers your question.
I don't know.
I think I'm with you, Gordon. Normally you're like, nah, the game won't be replayed. I'm not sure they might actually replay this game. And because Partick Thistle have done nothing wrong,
exactly,
by the way.
Exactly. But within that though, then you don't just do that at a whim. You know, there would need to be some sort, is there a rule there? Is there a small print that says if the league commits an administrative error affecting your team lines, you're entitled to get the game replayed?
All joking apart, do we have any guarantees that this isn't going to happen at the weekend?
Of course not. But I guess the hope would be that with every new system, you make that mistake once and it doesn't happen again.
I know it's in short supply in Scottish football, and it always has been. How does common sense not come into it? You know, Partick Thistle didn't have 14 substitutes sitting on the bench. They had nine. They had nine subs, nine boys with a tracky top on, ready to come in. They, you know, the referee surely knows, and the fourth official knows. Yeah, they are the nine subs.
Yeah, but see, just to be fair, right, in that moment, in the heat of that, if you're the official, you're not aware of the mistake that's happened. You just apply your own random judgment, your own apparent common sense, and you let them bring on someone that you think's not.
Who did you think won the cash for kids auction to play for Partick Thistle?
But you've just used the Cove example, right? The mistake is before that. The mistake is not that the official doesn't just decide there to count them up and let them come on. The mistake's before that.
I completely understand that, but if that's the case, the day that Grady McGrath plays for Cove, why is the referee not saying, by the way, son, You're suspended. You shouldn't be playing, son. You're suspended. You're not. Get one of the subs on.
That's slightly different though, isn't it?
But the fourth official should check the substitute's bench, because you're not actually allowed. I think you're allowed three unstripped players that are on there who aren't basically part of the match they scored, but you're not allowed to warm up and down the side. So you've been breaking rules in. That's the fourth official's job, to check those rules and to make sure that the people who are listed are actually sitting on the bench. So it should have been, like you said, it should have been checked at the start, but it hasn't been checked. And Partick Thistle, for me, been unable to bring on a striker. What if they were winning the game and want to bring a defender on, or a defender got injured, for example, and they had a centre half on the bench, but because he was at the bottom, they weren't able to bring him on.
Or the goalie gets injured.
Yeah.
Yep.
Even worse. Gordon, I think you could be going to watch that game again.
I won't go to the game.
Do you see if you do, I'm not coming with you.
Thanks to Paolo. What about the rest of you out there, whether you're a Thistle fan or not? That's quite a drama. So give us your thoughts and we'll speak to you next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Marvin Bartley are in the building, taking your calls until 8 o'clock as we build up to the start of the Scottish League season. We cannot wait. It never disappoints in terms of drama and talking points and controversy, and this tends to be a breeding ground for all those things. So for the next 10 months, strap yourselves in and we will go through it together. We won't always agree, but we'll be here every night pretty much, and we'll work our way through it all. So 01419511025 or Twitter at ClydeSSB. Before the break, we were talking about this drama that unfolded at Firth Park yesterday. Partick Thistle went there, drew 0-0 with Motherwell, got the bonus point on penalties. It didn't matter. Motherwell went through, Partick Thistle went out, but an administrative error by the officials, I guess. Is that fair? Or by the, yeah, I think by the officials, by the app that's used to administer the team lines, has caused a bit of a drama. Partick Thistle couldn't bring on a sub, but they should have been allowed to bring this sub on. They've asked for a full clarification of events, and there are suggestions they're after a bit of a replay of the game.
Can I be there when you explain the Comet app to Hugh Keevans?
And honestly, exactly.
And how it works on a Nokia.
What chance have you got? this guy doesn't even know what a screenshot is, so I hope he's listening and he'll be back with us this week, I'm sure. So we'll,
when he went to Partick Thistle games, it was just a big slab of paper. One, Rough.
Thought you were going
to
say a slab of concrete.
Hansen. Three, O'Hara. It went like that.
Well, let's bring in James, who's also a Partick Thistle fan. James, would you throw your weight behind calls for a replay?
I don't think it's practical, but it opens up a whole can of worms about this Comet app.
Imagine just turning on for the first time and what's a Comet app? People are shouting.
Hugh will be blaming Bill Haley.
The radio. James, you're right. It is the hope, and I'm just, you know, hoping, fingers crossed. Surely you don't make this type of mistake again. That doesn't satisfy you, by the way, in terms of what happened to you, but I mean going forward.
You just wonder what's going on in the background. It's not even just what happened at 1:30 on Sunday. What's been put in place? What's been trained out? You know, Comet app is all very good unless it's getting used by rockets, you know what I mean?
Ah, I see what you did there. Yep, I like that.
Yeah.
I mean, this... Talk about the level of detail you're going into here, Roger, about, you know, who screenshotted what and what, and I'm going to blow Hugh Keevan's mind even more here, so let's do it anyway. Right, so the Comet system has been brought in, and apparently, according to Partick Thistle's statement, the fourth official confirmed he had used a screenshot from the automated PDF as a reference for the team lines. And therefore, that is also part of Thistle's gripe, because they say they find it impossible to believe, which is quite an interesting statement, because surely there's nothing, there can't be any, there's no anti-Rico Diak conspiracy here, surely, to not let him come on. We find it impossible, they say, to believe a screenshot could contain Motherwell's ninth sub and not Thistle's when it's on the same text.
I would agree with that.
Well, I don't know if I'd go that far, because I get that frustration, but impossible to believe.
I think it will.
What does that mean then? You've deliberately cut off Rico Diak.
You talk about the automated PDF. Marvin's old team, Hibs, were go back during the COVID years. Hibs didn't want you to have team lines, pieces of paper like that, because you don't want me touching it and passing it on to other people. So Hibernian sent automated PDFs of the team lines out to all the media who were accredited for the football game, and other clubs have since done that. Hibs were the first to do it. And when your automated PDF comes onto your phone, your smartphone, you see it. Now, there's 11 players and there's 9 subs, so that takes 20 lines. So if there's 20 lines there, it's balanced with the 20 lines down the other side. How was yesterday the 20 lines of Motherwell balanced with 19 lines of Partick Thistle and the 20th one disappears off the bottom? I don't understand that, how that is.
I'm also loath to get into this level of madness, but is it something as daft as zoomed in on one and screenshotted and zoomed in slightly different? That's the thing.
You must have zoomed in.
There's no such thing as a good explanation, but there has to be one.
I think they've just zoomed too far in, and like you said, they've cut it off, and that's as simple as that.
That's madness.
And it's laughable for us, but as you said, Partick Thistle and Roger said it earlier, have lost out on potentially a lot of money if they've gone through. That's a lot of money for a club at that level.
I think James's point's a good one though, in terms of going forward, because Thistle's statement says, we understand a number of the match officials refereeing our fixtures so far this season will be using the system for the first time, but there needs to be a system of accountability to ensure fairness and transparency for all clubs. So, but you don't think that means a replay, James?
I don't think so. It's like, how can you do it? Like, how can you even calculate compensation? It's not Motherwell's fault.
But it's not passes.
You're not going to get money out. You're not going to get money out of the SPFL or the SFA.
No, that's a certainty.
That's very true, Roger.
I must admit, I don't. There's nothing about, even from a Motherwell perspective, I've no desire to be defensive over this. It really, it's not the way I'm looking at it.
James is right. It's not Motherwell.
James is right. It's not. And then again, that is how do we come up with things that are so unprecedented that it makes it quite difficult? I think we all agree Thistle are well within the rights to ask. I don't think anyone's got a problem with that. Whether that's how it transpires or not, no idea.
But I don't see how they turn around, the league turn around to Thistle and say, no, you aren't replaying the game, even though we didn't allow you to bring on a sub that could have impacted the game for you to win and go through. Like how?
I know.
How do you justify that decision?
But it's so out there, Roger, that Rico Diak could also have come on and scored an own goal that some other. It's just stupid, quite frankly. The logistics of it, I mean, the draw's been made, the ties are due to be played. So if this game's to be replayed, it's this or next midweek.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you have to fit it in.
And then you wonder if I'm now sort of snowballing this, genuinely, with the league campaign just around the corner, if it had, say it had to be this midweek, 2 days' time, would Partick Thistle even want that? I would maybe guess not, with the league season being round. But if reports are to believe, they want one, or they're asking for one, so is it next midweek? I would think
they would want it regardless of when it is, because, like you said, there's a massive carrot at the end of it. That's £100,000 potentially.
That's the best outcome, though, isn't it?
Going through, of course, but you give yourself a chance of getting that. Like, you know, they were denied not because they were poor in the game, or, you know, they were denied from their point of view because they were unable to bring on a sub to impact a game at a certain, you know, minute within that game. And, you know, one of the callers said earlier, Pablo said earlier, like, Brian Graham was beginning to tire, getting someone else alongside him or replacing him was what they needed to do, and they were unable to do so.
And you tell us that the comment list the players numerically.
Yeah, because Craig's tweeted there to say, and I think he's kind of, well, I hope he's joking, he says, he's got a couple of other points, but without being rude, as the last man in the team sheet, surely didn't have that much confidence in him anyway, wink face. But yeah, they're in numerical order.
Imagine at Tynecastle, just before 12:30 on Saturday, Danilo, number 99. He's going over the fourth official. Am I definitely there?
James is also on in Largs. So what's your solution to this, James? How does this play out?
I'm not James, I'm Craig.
Sorry, Craig, we've just had James, my apologies.
Yeah, okay, no problem. No, I don't think it's going to be practical, and I don't think the game will be replayed. But there's one sort of party that's guilty here, and that's the SFA, or the league. So I would suggest that whatever the takings from Motherwell the next game is in the next game against Kilmarnock, the SFA should pay that exactly the same money to Partick Thistle as a compensation.
For what it's worth, and this, I know we muddy the waters on this quite a lot, so it's the SPFL's competition. But the registration, admin of refereeing is entirely down to the SFA. Yep. Those are two very separate bodies. Craig's come up with a solution. Is it up there for you, Roger?
Ian Maxwell, Chief Executive SFA. Where did he work before?
That's right.
Chief Executive Partick Thistle. They're bound to know him. Come on, Maxie, do the right thing.
I mean, it's so unprecedented.
Remember the money they took off Cove Rangers last week could go back to. Oh no, it's a different organisation.
It's an expensive solution.
That would be good.
Do you think that would satisfy Partick Thistle?
I think so. If you were given the money for going through this round and a share of the. Yeah, definitely. Without having to play a game. Take that whole day.
Yeah, because you might replay and lose 3-0. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I know Motherwell were rotten yesterday for what it's worth. But
Take that all day, but that's a lot of money that, you know, the league need to find that I can't see happening.
I mean, I'm seeing some that are lacking in sympathy, because even I, as I say, have a lot of it. Alan's saying, why should Motherwell suffer for a fault of a governing body? Who is this wonder kid Thistle wanted to put on for the last 5 minutes? But again, that's just not the point.
Yeah. No, it's not the point. Gordon, at the back of my mind, I mean, we have been aware through the summer of teething troubles with the Comet system, albeit lower level things, you know, amateur teams, non-SPFL teams struggling to register players in time for pre-season friendlies. Minor administrative things that indicated that all was not well with the Comet system. Yesterday, we discovered a very high profile error with the Comet system. At the back of my mind, there are 20 SPFL fixtures about to take place this weekend. Mm-hmm. I desperately hope it doesn't happen. I do have concerns it will happen again.
We're really into the micro detail, though. I don't know who the man or woman that heads up the Comet system is, but I do wonder if they were listening to the night, might say, "What's wrong with that system? I think you'll find some that's a complete user error that should have been avoided." Mm-hmm. So,
well, look, listen, if that's the case, fantastic. That's if it's a user error, that's a good thing, because all they need to do is tell us what user made the error and explain to Partick Thistle and their supporters why the error was made and where the responsibility lay, and assure everyone else that's about to play football this weekend that there are no problems with the Comet system.
The Comet system, honestly. Oh, it's good to be back. Thanks to Craig.
You just have the Comet sale after Christmas, didn't we?
Craig and Lards and James and Hillhead. That's picking up pace on this topic. If you want to keep going, you can do. Rangers fans, maybe you've had time to digest everything that John Bennett said. You can give us your reaction to that. And Celtic fans, more from you. What, you must be delighted with pre-season performances and results. You must be delighted. Does that give you full confidence for the season ahead, or is it just a completely different beast when the competitive action starts? Do let us know and we'll speak to you next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Marvin Bartley are here on 0141 951 1025. There's still time to squeeze a call in if you want. I have to say, it has been a much, much busier evening than I suspected it could be, because sometimes, you know, people just waiting for the league season to kick off and it's maybe a bit quiet on the transfer front. But today there's been all sorts. There have been reports about Rio Hatate and Leicester potentially wanting him just before, well, as we came on here, 6 o'clock. John Bennett had his say on a number of topics affecting Rangers fans. Partick Thistle, as it looks like they are after a replay of the cup game against Motherwell due to an admin error, or a Comet app error, things you never thought you would say on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. So that and more, still time if you want to squeeze your thoughts in. I mean, Moan the Jags, who is obviously a Thistle fan, has got a slightly different way of looking at it. Hi Gordon, I don't think the game should be replayed. Doolan made a boo-boo losing against Clyde, and that's what cost us not being able to sub on Big Diak with 5 minutes left. Just get on with it, Thistle. It's our fault we didn't go through. I still know the point, Roger. He's a Thistle fan and I'm not.
No, it's not the point.
Yes, Thistle did make life much more difficult for themselves.
Did. So did Hibernian, losing at Kelty Hearts. Still get through, you know.
Losing at home to Clyde, not okay, and that is a large reason of why they went out. It's just still not the point, really.
No.
So it'll be interesting. What's your gut telling you how this one plays out?
That Thistle will get an unsatisfactory response, there will be no replay, and they will just have to suck it up and get on with it, Gordon.
I tend to agree with Roger. I hope that's not going to be the case, because I actually, as a neutral in all this, I think the game should be replayed, and I know how harsh that is on Motherwell, but you know, I sympathise with Partick here more than anybody else, and I know you're going to be happy, Gordon, but
I understand it.
Yeah, I do think, you know, Roger's probably going to be closer to what happens than
and
myself.
If we're discussing it tomorrow night, Gordon Dale will be back on. He's pals with Willie Collum, isn't he?
Yeah,
very good friend. New SFA refs chief that he needs to show a bit of openness, transparency, and if any of his officials erred in any way at Fir Park yesterday, then they just need to hold their hands up to it.
And the outcome will just be typical Scottish football, because there's a full range of possibilities. It's replayed, Thistle get the result they want, they go through, everyone says, Mike, look at that, that should have been replayed. Rico Diak, you go and score a hat trick. Or they replay it, Motherwell win 4-0. It's a giant waste of everyone's time, but none of that's the point. And no. I do keep
it. But Inverness not getting knocked out of the Scottish Cup a couple of seasons ago, lost at home to Queen's Park, and fielded an ineligible player. Queen's Park get kicked out, Inverness got to the next round,
the final,
and went all the way to the final.
Yeah,
correct.
It's going to be a logistical nightmare as well, because you'd have to do it pretty soon, because the draw was made. Overall then, let's assume it's as it is. What did you make of the draw? What stands out for you, either of you?
Well, Celtic, Hibs, you know, in talking about, you know, a team winning and putting themselves in a better position, obviously that defeat against Kelty Hearts ends up costing Hibs, you know, in terms of being an unseeded team now rather than a seeded team, and then they get the worst draw possible. You know, they have to go away to Celtic.
Yeah, I thought there was some decent ties. Motherwell, Kilmarnock, actually, Motherwell getting through isn't a bad tie at all. You spoke about Jim Goodwin, Derby, Dundee United against St Mirren. I felt a bit sorry for some of the Championship teams, the three of them, Marvin, who got through. Queen's Park away to Pittodrie, away at Aberdeen at Pittodrie, Airdrie away against
Dundee.
What about
Dundee, Spartans? Dens. You see the draw? When there's two balls left, Spartans was one in
Ross County.
Is it Ross County or St Johnson? St Johnson get Rangers?
Oh, yeah. So it's been, yeah.
And you're praying for Spartans to get pulled out of that.
Do away with
maybe the only team Spartans play at hand.
Do you do away with the seeding? The seeding element of it? Because it's fair enough. Obviously, the teams that are in Europe, they can't come in at the group stages. But then the seeding on top of that, and it, you know, the draw wasn't... It just sort of stops you getting that open...
Yeah,
but maybe that's just a neutral perspective.
I absolutely would do away with the seeding. I don't like seedings in cup competitions at all.
I like it. See, I'm the opposite.
You do?
Yeah.
Though, when you look at the draw, it's a bit, I'm not going to say it's boring, but it Well, it could have been a lot better.
Like I said, the European teams, because they're not in at the group stages, you know, so...
Right, so that's okay then, that bit's fine, but do they then need seeded after that?
I think you need seeded, yep, seeded teams, non-seeded teams, I like it.
Well, I like we can it. Agree to disagree. We're almost out of time. I was looking at the other stories that we've not really touched on. I wonder if any Celtic fans would call in about it. Maybe they're just hoping out of sight, out of mind, and nothing ever comes of it. Rio Hatate, Leicester, do you think that's one that should worry Celtic fans?
I'll give you one guarantee that Celtic will not sell both Matt O'Reilly and Rio Hatate in this window because Brendan Rodgers will not allow it to happen. So if Rio Hatate is sold to Leicester, that means Matt O'Reilly staying. My own hunch would be this is the summer for Matt O'Reilly's departure. I would think Celtic would already have lined up potential replacements for Matt O'Reilly for fear of losing him between now and the window closing at the end of next month, and that will probably keep Rio Hatate at the club for a bit longer.
Do you even think that, Roger, even if Leicester come in with a, you know, a price that's over the valuation that Celtic value him at? Talking about models earlier and players going at the
right
time.
I could
well
be wrong. It won't be the first time I've been wrong with these things, but I think if Hatate goes, O'Reilly stays.
Again, I think if, you know, if Leicester come in and the bid's massive and it's early enough in the window, I think timing's going to be absolutely everything. I think if we wait until the last 2 or 3 days and they're trying to, you know, get him on the cheap, etc., I don't think that they'll let him go. But I think if it's early enough and the player then says, you know what, I fancy doing that, and it gives Celtic enough time to bring in, you know, 2 centre midfielders of quality because I expect O'Reilly to go, I think they might do it, depending on, as I said, the value has to be right for Celtic. They're in the driving seat here, same as kind of the Eder with Norwich. Norwich are in the driving seat. In this situation, Celtic are in the driving seat.
The good thing is, history tells us that when Leicester want a high-profile member of Celtic staff, they don't tend to get them. It never really comes to much, does
goodness
it?
Goodness me, first show of the season.
About 10 minutes ago and he's dropped that in nine minutes.
Just reminds me of one of the most mental nights we ever had on this show, that's all it was. But
On that though, Gordon, sorry, you bring up a good point. Now, I wonder, you know, as a player then, for example, he goes into Brendan Rodgers and says, well, I want to go, and, you know, Brendan says to him, well, no, we sold Matt O'Reilly now, and he says, well, hang on a minute. It creates its own problems, that, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, of course it does, yeah. And that, but listen, that's why managers are highly paid to deal with those things, Mark.
Some.
I don't. What do we make of the window overall, though? We're told that the Euros does delay things generally because it has a knock-on effect. I also think, well, we probably saw this last season. Financial fair play really changed things. You look at the January window, and then that has a knock-on effect. I don't think there are loads of our teams are worrying about 40 and 50 million in comings and outgoings, but is there some sort of knock-on effect? Do you expect things to pick up as the weeks go on? Or
football is a food chain. And the ones at the top at the minute aren't eating. You know, I don't think Manchester City have signed anyone of note. Arsenal, I think they started today signing Calafiore from Bologna. Liverpool, I don't think have signed a player slot. Yeah. So they will eventually start buying, and then they will start discovering that the players who get knocked further down at the club, they'll let them go, and they'll go to lower Premier League teams in England, and their other fringe players will go to the Championship, and the Championship players will go to League One, and then the Scottish clubs will start, you know, feeding off loan players from the Premier League or loan players from the Championship or League One in England. So a lot of the Scottish teams have to be patient, and they have to wait until it's their turn in the chain.
If I was Celtic as well, a Celtic fan, I'd be happy with how things are at this moment in time. I think, you know, they're more than ready to go into the season. Yes, you always want new players coming in, but listen, if Celtic go with the same squad they have now and, you know, the window closed tomorrow, they're in a strong position. You know, again, if you're a Rangers fan, it's slightly different.
You're always looking to, every team though, at any level, wants to be a good bit stronger than they were last season. So Celtic wouldn't be that yet, would they? Just because of, and again, that could easily change before the end of the window.
But do you know what? I think they will be stronger in a sense of, one of the fans said it earlier, you know, they've had a year longer under Brendan Rodgers, you know, and you look at their preseason. I said, you know, preseason isn't the be all and end all when you are losing games of football, but they have beaten, you know, a Manchester City side, which I know is a younger side, but a good Chelsea team. So
I just mean personnel though, because every team could just improve over the summer. That could happen, but I mean in terms of personnel.
You definitely want to involve in terms of personnel. Listen, new players coming in and fans getting to see them, you know, is a fantastic thing for supporters. But yeah, definitely, listen, Celtic will want players. As I said, I think they want game changers rather than projects.
Brendan Rodgers will want four or five in by the end of August. There's no question mm-hmm. about it. Doesn't matter. You know, Celtic fans can say, oh, I want this, I want that. Nobody wants players more than Brendan Rodgers. He will know, just in terms of numbers, as Gordon was saying, you know, there's no Ida, there's no Bernardo.
Yep.
The goalies that have come in are just replacing the goalies who have gone out, mm-hmm. Hart and Sigrist. So in terms of numbers, they're actually down from the way they ended the season. Yep. He will want two strikers, I think, because he's lost two strikers mm-hmm. in Ida and Vata. He'll want left back cover. I think he'll want another centre half. Depending on who goes from the middle of the park, I think he'll want Bernardo and one other.
Yeah.
And every transfer window, Celtic sign a winger. The bell winger.
We will leave it there. The first 2 hour show is done and dusted already. Over in the blink of an eye, that's because it was another very busy day in Scottish football. To be totally selfish about it for a minute, delighted to be back. Great to speak to you all, and looking forward to the season ahead. Thank you to Marvin Bartley and to Roger Hannah. The biggest thanks, as always, this season will be no different, goes to you for taking the time to pick up the phone and call in, to send us a tweet, or to just sit back quietly and listen or watch wherever you are. Don't forget, some things are the same as last season. You can catch up on the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. You can watch the show being streamed live as well. You can catch that on the likes of Facebook and Twitter as well. We're back. That's us back in the full swing. So tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, Gordon Dalziel. I wonder what he's been up to. I've not seen him since Germany. Just, you know, you just feel like you need some time apart yeah. from people after 12 days and nights and everything that goes along with it.
The one guarantee is he'll have been up to something.
But it'll be good to check in with him tomorrow, see what he's been up to. Make sure you join us and enjoy the rest of your night.